In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. My Lord and my God, I firmly believe that you are here, that you see me, and that you hear me. I adore you with profound reverence. I ask your pardon for my sins and the grace to make this time of prayer fruitful. My Immaculate Mother, Saint Joseph, my Father and Lord, my guardian angel, intercede for me. Earlier this afternoon, we had the Way of the Cross, and shortly after that, the Rosary with the sorrowful mysteries on this Friday. And now we go into last things, death and justice, judgment and hell and heaven, purgatory. But it's not a somber thing at all, right? For a Christian, as we pray in the Liturgy of the Mass, life is changed, not ended, with death. Or St. Josemaria would say, we just change houses. Our Lord wants all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. So yes, indeed, death is a reality, part of God's will after the fall. But we need not despair. As St. Josemaria writes in The Way, don't be afraid of death. Accept it from this day on generously, when God wills it, how God wills it, where God wills it. Believe me, it will come at the time, in the place, and in the way that are best, sent by your Father God. May our sister death be welcome. Indeed, we want to get to that new Jerusalem. Behold, I make all things new, our Lord is saying to us. So let's accept that offering of our Lord and prepare ourselves. Every day is a moment, a chance to prepare ourselves for death and judgment. We will be judged immediately upon our death, a particular judgment the Church teaches. And at that moment, we'll know if we're saved or not. So let's, like St. Paul, let's run the race. Let's compete. Let's fight the good fight. There is a war going on. In the book of Job, we read life on earth is warfare. We had that reading a few days ago in the liturgy. The translation that was offered is life on earth is drudgery. Okay. You can apply things in life to that. But I think life on earth is warfare. We're fighting for heaven. We're going to fight the good fight. It's not something, I don't know, overly aggressive. That's not the point. We want to strive to do God's will and yes, recognize there are forces of evil that do not want us to get to heaven. It's part of the Church's teaching. Jesus cast out demons. And so with great hope in our Lord, we'll try, Lord, with your grace, we'll try to use our time well to serve you and to love you and our neighbor. If anything, that's perhaps what death, the reality of death is about. It's a wake-up call for us. It's good for us to say, well, yes, I'm not here forever. And in the meantime, Lord, I'll try to spend my days serving you, serving my neighbor. Now, when Jesus came, he found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb 4 days. Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 2 miles off, and many of the Jews had come to Martha and Mary to console them concerning their brother. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went and met him, while Mary sat in the house. Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. And even now, I know that whatever you ask from God, God will give you. Once again, it's wonderful to see the faith of Martha, her friendship with Jesus, her trust in Jesus. Whatever may come, she goes to Jesus. She counts on Jesus. Just faith. And Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. Martha said to him, I know that he will rise again and the resurrection at the last day. Here too, wonderful to see the perspective that Martha takes on this the death of her brother, whom she loved so much, Lazarus. Sort of opposite of what we saw in that Samaritan woman at the well, who sees things very much at the human level, it's almost the superficial level. There's water in the well, and when Jesus is trying to open her eyes and her heart to the living water. Well, here, Jesus says to her, your brother will rise again. And in this case, he's speaking about the here and now. We'll see, of course, we'll know. He will bring Lazarus back from the dead to this earth. But Martha is thinking in eternal life. Martha said to him, I know that he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day. What faith of Martha? Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? She said to him, yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is coming into the world. That's our answer to death. And yes, indeed, we feel the suffering of death, of pain, the sorrow of death, of course. We're human, we're real. But we also are called to have faith, a faith like Martha here. Yeah, Lord, I believe that you're the Christ, you're the Son of God. You are the author of life. I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. In this regarding death of our loved ones, death of the poor, death of those suffering right now and, you know, in different parts of the world because of conflict, in my own death. Yes, Lord, I believe that you're the Christ, the Son of God. That's our response to the reality of death. And again, that's the way we pray in our faith life. In the first preface of Christian death in the Mass, the sadness of death gives way to the bright promise of immortality. Vita mutatur, non tolitur. Life is changed, not ended. In fact, in the Christian tradition, we call the day of our death the dies natalis. It's the day of our birth. Born to eternal life with God's mercy. Indeed, as our Lord is saying to us once again, behold, I make all things new. Yeah, amidst the suffering of death, the travails of life, our Lord is there. Behold, I make all things new. That's the way the director of the Passion of the Christ uses that phrase. It's from Revelation 21:5. But when our Lord is carrying the cross, he falls and our Blessed Mother runs to him and their eyes meet. And you see the suffering that Jesus has gone through is just horrendous. And yet there's this look of hope on his face, even joy, saying to Mary, behold, I make all things new. Lord, I long to see your face. Oh God, you are my God, for whom I have been searching earnestly. My soul yearns for you, and my body thirsts for you. It's our whole life. We want to pray, live these words of Psalm 63. My soul will be satisfied as at a banquet. And with rejoicing lips, my mouth will praise you. Of course, the banquet, that's an imagery that we see in Scripture that our Lord uses about heaven. We want to get there. My soul will be satisfied as at a banquet. In the meantime, yes, life on earth is warfare. Now, there's that book some years ago, Men Are From Mars, Women Are From Venus. And this, I can't remember the author. I think he's a doctor, a psychologist. But he just talks about the differences of men and women. And fine, I've read it. It seems to me he's got some very good points in there. And with someone taking that title and, well, twisting it, but not twisting it, but just saying, oh, no, actually, no, it's not Men Are From Mars, Women Are From Venus. It's Men Are From Earth, Women Are From Earth. Deal with it. Well, okay, with all the joys and sorrows of this life, and mostly joys in our family life, we want to run the race. We want to live this life with our gaze, you know, and set to heaven. St. Jose Maria would say we have to have our feet firmly planted on this earth. Indeed, we have to live on this earth, take care of the earth, till the soil, take care of people, work. But our gaze is set on heaven. And that moment will come, and with God's mercy, we will enter into the kingdom. Someone wrote a little thing about seeing a tombstone verse in a British cemetery. Remember, man, as you walk by, as you are now, so once was I. As I am now, so shall you be. Remember this and follow me. To which someone replied by writing on the tombstone, to follow you, I'll not consent until I know which way you went. Pretty wise, prudent decision there. Okay, let's not dive into the, you know, into the following. Let's work out our salvation day by day. And again, that's why death is a good thing for us. It wakes us up a bit, hopefully. It helps us to repent of our past sins. It helps us to try to use our time well. St. John of the Cross, you will be judged on your love, ultimately. How have I used my life? Have I really loved people? Have I been of service to people? Have I imitated Christ, who gave his life for us? No greater love is this than a man lay down his life for his friends. And so we, again, look forward to this encounter with our Lord, but we'll be judged. In the book of Revelation, in chapter 20, then I saw a great white throne, and him who sat upon it. From his presence, earth and sky fled away, and no place was found for them. And I saw the dead, great and small, standing before the throne, and books were opened. Also another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged by what was written in the books, by what they had done. And the sea gave up the dead in it. Death and Hades gave up the dead in them. And all were judged by what they had done. Then death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire. This is the second death, the lake of fire. And if anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire. Well, Lord, I want my name to be written in the book of life. And the Lord is right there helping us along, saying, yes, come on in, write your life, write your story. What's your story? Well, every day we have a chance to write in the book of life. Getting up on time, that's a little way to, okay, Lord, I want to be with you. I want to follow you. And then taking care of, you know, everyday things and people, and being merciful. So you will be judged according to the measure with which you judge others, our Lord said. That's a good deal if we can refrain from judging people rashly. If we show mercy, he'll show us mercy. And we'll need mercy at that moment of death. Someone said they're watching an interview with Father Bennett Grischel of happy memory. Very good priest, very smart man, I think he's a psychiatrist or psychologist. And anyway, in this interview, it was on EW10 apparently, the interviewer said, now what are you going to say to Jesus when you see him? Now, obviously implying you're going to heaven, right? What are you going to say to Jesus when you see him, or certainly to judgment? And apparently Father Grischel just sort of shook his head, looked down and said, Lord have mercy, Lord have mercy, Lord have mercy. We all have to say that. We all have to live that way. The Lord have mercy. And I'll try, with your grace, to take care of the day, to live a day in your presence, and begin and begin again. Have hope. The devil wants us to despair about death and judgment, but we have hope. The Lord, rich in mercy, wants all men to be saved. And we do have, there's a prayer in the church liturgy, people of Opus Dei use it every day in one of their prayers. It's spatium veri penitentiae, time or space for true penance. We want that, we pray for that. Lord, give me time for penance. Help me to purify. Or St. Jose Maria would say, let's jump right over purgatory and go to heaven. Yeah, by living our life now with charity and sacrifice, heeding to the word of the Lord, who speaks through his, through the prophets and through the writers of Scripture, through St. Paul, for example, who writes to the Romans, and these words benefited St. Augustine. He was on the wrong path early on in his life. Well, all the way up to 33 is when he was 33 when he converted. May that deep conversion, but we need to hear these words, just like St. Augustine, perhaps, from St. Paul. Besides this, you know what hour it is, how it is full time now for you to wake from sleep. For salvation is nearer to us now than when we first believed. The night is far gone, the day is at hand. Let us then cast off the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us conduct ourselves becomingly as in the day, not in reveling and drunkenness, not in debauchery and licentiousness, not in quarreling and jealousy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to gratify its desires. Augustine needed to hear this, and the Lord put it there in front of him with the famous little story about the boy. And that voice of the boy in the garden, tole lege, pick up and read. And this Augustine read this, and it was part of his conversion story. And indeed, let's wake from sleep. Let's use our time well. How's my day going? Do I try to give honor and glory to God, who's given me time? Time is a treasure, St. Jose Maria would say. We can't waste a second, he said, and I'm not exaggerating. It doesn't mean running around crazy, like a madman, but just having a good flow of the day. Look about Jesus himself. They had no time to eat, we read in Scripture. So Jesus was, he's concerned about souls. It takes time. But he also had time to spend those few days in Capernaum with Mary and the apostles and his brethren. It was relaxing, probably. Good conversations, good meals, great. That's also good use of time. That's also a wonderful way to prepare for our death. But let's definitely do away with reveling and drunkenness and debauchery and quarreling and jealousy. We will be judged on our love, but we'll be judged on everything we've done. We see that in Scripture in different ways that our Lord reminds us. And okay, well, let's repent the way we need to and go forward. Always with this hope in the Lord, who loves us unconditionally. Perhaps you've heard of Blessed Franz Jagerstatter, born on May 20th, 1907, in Austria, a little town up in the mountains of Austria. After a pretty wild life of sorts growing up, he married a good Catholic woman, had three children. Anyway, the war comes along, and he refuses to make the oath of loyalty to Adolf Hitler. Terrence Malick produced a movie, directed a movie called A Hidden Life about this blessed Franz. Anyway, he remains faithful to his conscience, and in fact will be executed by the German authorities, the Nazi authorities, on August 9th, 1943. And in the movie, there's a revealing moment in which Franz is encouraged just simply to say the oath, knowing he doesn't really mean it. And as Father Michael Rainier, who saw the film and wrote a review, writes in his account, in his laconic, reserved voice, Franz utters four simple words that reveal why one might be willing to pay such a cost. While in prison, he is told that if he simply changes his mind and swears loyalty to Hitler, he will be set free. Franz replies, "But I am free." A man who follows his conscience. There's a freedom in that, a great freedom. And yes, we will be judged at the end of the day on how we use our freedom. Lord, help me to take advantage of every moment of this life to do your will. That is truly our freedom. Commenting again on this film, Father Rainier, he writes, "I'm not ashamed to admit that this film rattled me. I suspect I wasn't alone, because after the full 3-hour screening, much of the audience sat in introspective silence. I sat and pondered my own personal integrity, the way in which I'm willing to cut corners or tell little white lies to avoid a hassle, and the rationalizations I make to justify my behavior. These small inconsistencies make my life easier, but they also make me less free. I am bound and beholden to these inconveniences. These little sacrifices for the sake of honesty and personal integrity will never garner applause and never win me a larger following as a priest or a writer. They are, in short, of no importance to anyone except myself. And this kind of scenario, one in which I stand not to gain, but only to lose by doing the right thing, will I do it?" Indeed, there's a choice to make, to give in to the poison, really, or to live freedom, regardless of the consequences. And ultimately, if we use our freedom well, if we try to love God with all our heart and all our soul and all our mind, if we try to love our neighbor as ourselves, if we take advantage of the sacraments, the Eucharist, confession, coming back to the mercy of our Lord and that beautiful sacrament of confession, if we're honest with ourselves, making a good examination of conscience on a regular basis. St. Jose Maria would say, do that every day. Examine your conscience briefly, a couple of minutes, but look at your day. Are you living the life that the Lord wants you to live? Are you free? Ultimately, that's the question. Am I free in the way I'm living? In an editorial regarding this spirit of examination of conscience, it encourages us to go deep. If we want to get to the root of the things we need to correct and to identify clearly the objectives we have to aim at, we have then to descend determinedly to the depths of our soul. It is particularly important to be familiar with our habits, tendencies, and dispositions so as to eradicate the first harmful shoots, to straighten out, while we are still in time, anything that is going astray. Indeed, we want to follow the Lord, and we have to recognize where I might be drifting away from the Lord a bit or a lot. Indeed, to recognize our habits, our tendencies, and our dispositions. A good examination of conscience can help us to do that. A woman made a retreat, and at the end of it, she made a list of things that that sum up her life in a way, or things that she needs to correct. And she's very honest with herself. Here are some of the things, a long list, frankly, of things that she saw in her life. "I am consumed with self. I am lazy. I procrastinate. I am vain. I worry constantly what others will think. I complain. I am resentful. I cheat when no one is watching. I lie, I hide from God, I cheat God. I condemn, I slander, I judge. I criticize, I mock, ridicule, and grumble. I am rash with others, I run from mortification. I am controlling and manipulative. I take and do not give. I harbor resentments and grudges. I do not accept others as Christ does. I fail to see Christ in the others. I persecute the others. I am selfish. I want the last word. I put down others to appear superior. I never publicly admit to being wrong. I yearn for recognition. I want center stage and control. I put off the hard thing and do the easy thing first. I am attached. Quite an examination of conscience that this woman made in her retreat, and maybe some of these resonate with her own lives. And thank you, Lord. We have time. L'espacium vera penitentiae. I want to repent, Lord. I want to purify these things. I want to see every day as an opportunity to love you more. Lord, take away from me anything that takes me away from you. Indeed, Lord, I want to go deep to the root of things, to be familiar with my habits, my tendencies and dispositions, and where I need to change some of those. Of course, we have also, along with these things that we see that are, we say, negative, we see wonderful things, good habits and good tendencies and good dispositions. I'm sure we all have those. We're sons and daughters of God. But we're aiming for holiness. Our Lord said, be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. So without getting rattled by that command of our Lord, well, let's, with a sporting spirit, let's try to be perfect within the realm that is possible, is love. I can always try to love more. I can always seek a certain perfection in whatever way the Lord wants me to do that. In the case of Blessed Franz Jagestad, was, okay, remained faithful to his conscience. He loved his wife, his three daughters, his country, and he was willing to suffer for that, for God. And so we, in our way, let's choose life, as we read in the book of Deuteronomy. One of the criminals who were hanged railed at him, saying, "Are you not the Christ? Save yourself and us." But the other rebuked him, saying, "Do you not fear God, since you are under the same sentence of condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we are receiving the due reward of our deeds. But this man has done nothing wrong." And he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And he said to him, "Truly, I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise." What great joy for that good thief to hear those words of Jesus. And he had his sins, he admits it, but he has faith in Jesus. He goes to Jesus. Well, that's the way. Death, judgment, the possibility of hell, okay. But Jesus, I trust in you. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of the living God, have mercy on me, a sinner. That's our way. Trust in our Lord. And we have the saints to help us along. Our Blessed Mother Mary, she takes us by the hand and leads us to Jesus. That point in the way of St. Jose Maria says it so wonderfully. To Jesus we always go, and to him we always return through Mary. I thank you, my God, for the good resolutions, affections, and inspirations that you've communicated to me in this meditation. I ask your help to put them into effect. My Immaculate Mother, St. Joseph, my Father and Lord, my guardian angel, intercede for me.